B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
We got a, today's a big anniversary for a friend of ours. A big time anniversary. Andrew, do you know that 25 years ago, Sal Palantonio, our beloved Sal Pal, left the Philadelphia Inquirer to join ESPN as an NFL reporter?
That's incredible. Incredible. 25 years ago.
25 years ago. Here's a guy that went from covering City Hall for the Inquirer, writing an incredible book about Frank Rizzo, doing amazing work as a journalist, then covering the Eagles for the Inquirer, giving us great sports coverage, and then he goes to ESPN and makes a career, a second career, out of television as one of the mainstays of ESPN football. Sal Palantonio, congratulations, my friend.
Cuz, that's so nice of you. I really appreciate being on the show and sharing this with you. I never thought I'd make it this far, man. Never thought I'd make it this far. You know, I can remember it literally like it was yesterday, 25 years ago. I had to make a decision to leave the Inquirer. I was in the union, like you, in the guild. It was a union-protected job, and I was covering the Eagles. I had the best two beats ever, covering politics and then covering the Eagles. And ESPN came calling, and then, you know, hey, it's a national gig, and my name is Sal. What? I have to say yes, right? But, you know, here's the thing. They were only offering me a one-year contract.
Wow.
So they're offering me a one-year contract. So I called my father, my late father, Vito, on the phone. And I said to him, Dad, they're only offering me a one-year contract. What do I do? He goes, well, you know, if after 1 year they let go of you, you know, you'll go back to writing for newspapers. I said, well, what if I screw it up? And he paused and he said, don't screw it up.
Oh, wow. That's what he said. Don't screw it up. Oh, man, the pressure. Oh, the pressure. Wow.
Right. Come on. Hey, is every Italian American father. Don't screw it up.
I know. My father said the same thing. I hear you, brother. Oh, my God. I remember because you and I were friends. I was in New York and you were in Philly. And of course, you know, I being a Philly guy, you know, I would always talk to you, and I was living here because I was traveling so much. So you and I would be on planes together, and I'd never forget when you said, I'm going to ESPN. I was like, wow, that's going to be incredible. And there was, I'm sure there had to be a lot of great consternation about the decision.
Well, there was, because I had three children under the age of eight. And, you know, like I said, a union-protected job. So,
and by the way, you were great. I mean, let's tell the thing. You're a great reporter. I mean, an award-winning reporter.
Yeah, I had just won the Associated Press Investigative Reporting Award for sports journalism, and I was named by Philly Mag as the number one sports writer in the city that year. So, you know, I mean, hey. But, hey, it was ESPN. And I was the first newspaper reporter that they put on the air in that role. After that, they went crazy. Adam Schefter, Stephen A. Smith, Al Morganti, a lot of people joined after that. So they took a run at me, and I'm glad they did.
That's fantastic. Now, what are you going to do to celebrate, brother? 25 years. What an anniversary.
Yeah. We're going to have a little barbecue in the backyard and enjoy ourselves. Yeah, you know, nice and low key. Yeah, nice and low key, yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love that. That is great. So what's your next assignment?
Yeah, we're just waiting for camps to open up so we can start watching practice. It looks like the Eagles are not going to have reporters on site watching any kind of workouts or practice for maybe a week or so. So, you know, I've been doing essays at home, been doing stuff from the home office, obviously keeping tabs on what's going on with the team. I was very, very encouraged when they only had 62 opt-outs league-wide, you know, 2,650 players on all 32 teams. So when you have a opt-out of only 2.5%, that's pretty good. It's much lower than the NFL thought it would be. They were ready for an opt-out anywhere between 5 and 7%. Some had predicted 10. And they've only had 22.5% of the players and coaches come in test positive for COVID so far. So, you know, so far, the first step, right, Ant has been pretty good. They got low numbers. They got high participation. And notwithstanding, obviously, Coach Peterson catching COVID and having to deal with the two-week quarantine, you know, the Eagles, knock on wood, have been in pretty good situation.
Yeah, and we're talking to Sal Pal celebrating his 25 years. Today is his 25th anniversary with ESPN. Sal, I know you spoke to Doug. You were texting with him when it first came down. Have you spoke to him since?
No, I'm leaving him alone for a while because, you know, that's a pretty personal thing. And, you know, I'll check in with him probably after the weekend to see how he's doing after a week of quarantine. But he told me flat out he's going to remain, you know, as much in charge of the team as he can virtually. Tough to do. Deuce Staley being in charge, I think, is, you know, he's the perfect personality for that kind of situation. It's blown me away that Deuce Staley has not had more interviews for a head coaching job. And the guy should be head coach in the National Football League, hands down. So I think hopefully, you know, going forward here, that will help him. But I think we're all concerned about Doug. You know, he's a civic treasure. We hope that he and his family and his friends are all okay, and he gets back into NovaCare and gets back to work.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, do you think, I think they're going to start, but do you think they're prepared? You think without a bubble, this thing is going to work? Bubble cities, I mean, I know a lot of stuff is thrown out, but do you think it can work on the honor system?
And that's what we got, you know, so we're through basically phase one, and now comes phase two, the acclimation period from August 3rd through August 11th. So they're going to be doing, you know, weight room training, on-field conditioning. They'll be doing small groups under 15, very, very confined situations and controlled where all the meetings are capped at 2 hours long. There's no conditioning tests during this period. So that's good. They'll have kickers and receivers and punters and long snappers. We'll be able to use footballs for the first time and quarterbacks. So quarterbacks, receivers, kickers, punters, and long snappers can now touch the football. And that's it. And you can have walkthroughs. Yeah. Here's another one. In addition to that, there are walkthroughs permitted for up to 60 minutes on each of the first 4 days and 75 minutes on each of the final 4 days of this acclimation period, which is basically phase two from August 3rd to the 11th. Now, why is that important? Those walkthroughs, people always say, well, what the heck is a walkthrough? Mm-hmm. Walkthrough is alignment and assignment.
Yep.
Because, and as you know, that is so important in football because they're filming the alignment and assignment. And coaches are on the field. Players can talk to one another. Then they film it. They go back into the meeting room and say, hey, on this play, you're supposed to be here. And that, believe me, that's a huge, I mean, you know, they do walkthroughs the night before the Super Bowl for a reason, because it's the final alignment and assignment for the Super Bowl. Every Saturday night before a game, whether it's on the field somewhere, if you're on the road or in a hotel ballroom, you're doing alignment and assignment in a walkthrough. So if you can do that for the next 7 days in a row of 60 minutes, that's pretty good before you get to the what they're calling the gradual ramp-up period on August 12th.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess my worry about it goes, once we start playing and you're getting on buses and you're getting on planes.
Oh, sure.
You know, yeah. And hotels, and now you're out in the world, and now girlfriends yep. come around, and,
yep.
you know, I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, it's hard to do it out of a bubble and last without I mean, we saw baseball, and it's calmed down, but the first weekend, you got two teams that had to be, you know, quarantined.
So the baseball situation with the Marlins and the Cardinals, right, because those were painful but very apparent lessons that I think all athletes, go back to that word that you used, honor system, trust. Listen, I know, I talk to players, talk to coaches all the time, text, talk to them. They all said that was a very stark wake-up call, and we have to, quote-unquote, police ourselves. A lot of money at stake, cuz.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Yeah. And that's why ultimately you're going to play, because there is a lot of money.
Right, but you got to be able to police yourselves if you want to collect, right? So the really interesting development, I thought, was this. After the Marlins incident, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, warned the Players Association, hey, I may just pull the plug on the season. Remember that?
Yep. Yep.
And then, listen, a day later, after they got a hold of the ratings and saw the BAFO ratings through the roof for baseball and basketball, Manfred walked it back. Because they know, listen, the NFL cap next year is going to be down $50 to $75 million per team, because you don't have ticket sales,
right.
merchandise sales at the stadium, beer, parking, food, all that. If you don't play this year, there won't be a salary cap next year. You won't get paid this year and next year. So they got to play. They realize they got to play.
Well, and here's the thing, right? Imagine, you were talking about BAFO ratings. Now imagine, because I think college football is going to have some trouble, right? You've seen, there's like a mini revolution going on right now in college football. So the NFL comes in, and the NFL could then spread its games around, right? So you can take advantage of your inventory, go do more TV deals, and, imagine the ratings in America. When everybody's got to stay out, it's colder weather, everybody's got to be inside, and all they're going to have is football.
It'll be like a Super Bowl rating every week.
Yeah, yeah.
You get 50 to 75 million people watching Thursday and Sunday night football.
Yeah, and then it'll do Saturday football all day, Friday night. I mean, it's endless, and they can spread the games around. And, you know, all that revenue, there's no way in the world they're going to lose that revenue. You know those guys better than anybody.
No. So, like you said, initially baseball had a problem, and that was a wake-up call for all players in all sports, MLS, NBA, NHL, NFL, that we have to police ourselves. You know, we got to have kangaroo court.
Yeah.
In the locker room.
That's right.
We see you out of the club.
Yeah.
You get a hefty fine.
Yep.
And the NFLPA's got to come down on those guys. Again, why? Because if you knock out a team or a couple teams and they don't play, everybody loses money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen with coverage. Like, what are you going to be doing? Are you going to be at stadiums for games?
That's to be determined, brother.
Yeah. Interesting.
But I think there will be coverage. But, you know, I'll still be hosting the matchup show from NFL Films. We'll still have that every week. So, you know, there'll be plenty to do.
Plenty to satiate us because need it. We need football, Sal, pal. This is great. 25 years, man, with ESPN. God bless you, brother. You deserve it. You're an incredible, incredible talent. And you got it all, writing, TV, radio, you're it, baby.
And listen, I just want to thank everybody at 97.5, the Fanatic, Joe Bell, the coach, Eric Camille, yourself, Mark Farzetta, the King, Mike Missinelli, everybody for having me on the station for the entire time the station's been in existence. And especially to the fabulous listeners and supporters of this radio station, I'm humbled by it. I everywhere I go, people will say, you know, hey, Sal Powell, heard you on 97.5, and you know, that means the world to me.
That's beautiful. Thanks, brother. Enjoy the barbecue and tell the family I said hello. Okay.
All right, Cuz. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. There he is, Sal Powell.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.